I'm Mike Dalton, and I've got before me a thick volume that was used by the pioneer women of Alaska. Originally, they were Pioneer Women of Alaska Igloo Number 3. On another tape, in a discussion with Clara Rust, we discussed at some length how Igloo Number 3 came into being and how it later was declared invalid by the Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska, and then the women reorganized as Pioneer Women of Alaska. And when they reorganized in the 30s, I think it was, I don't know that date right now, they reorganized as an exclusive group. Only those who came to Alaska prior to January 1, 1908, Alaska or the Yukon watershed, that is, could become members. So today, which is 1974, their numbers are necessarily thin. For one of the first entries in the membership book of this original organization is Mrs. Louise J. Busby. She died, I think it was in 1936. At any rate, I'll read what the Fairbanks paper carried about her on her death. Funeral services for Mrs. Louise Hunt Busby, Pioneer Woman of Fairbanks, will be held at St. Matthew's Church at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Services will be conducted by the Reverend C.P. Shelton, Vicar. Mrs. Busby, the widow of the late Harry Busby, passed away in St. Joseph's Hospital Monday night at the age of 66. She was born May 1, 1870, at Le Sueur, Minnesota. That's spelled capital L-E, capital S-E-U-R-E. Probably I mispronounced that. The family moved westward, and in 1887 she was married to Harry Busby at Nebraska. N-I-A-B-R-A-R-A. Nebraska. After living for several years in western states, they went to Skagway in 1901. In 1904, they lived in Oregon, and in 1905, they came to Fairbanks. Mrs. Busby lived in Fairbanks from 1905 to 1937, except for the years 1921 to 26, which she spent in California and Oregon. Mr. Busby died in Fairbanks in 1931. Okay, so this was written in 1937. But the month is uncertain. These clippings that were put in this book, by the way, are not dated, unfortunately, so you kind of have to fumble around and feel your way around. Other members of, still quoting from this article, other members of the family include two daughters, Mrs. J.E. Crowell of Southgate, California, and Mrs. C.T. Spencer of Fairbanks, and four sons, J., Ted, Elton, and Bob of Fairbanks, and two sisters and a brother in Oregon and California. The Busby home is 2 miles Richardson Highway. On her entry into the Pioneer Women of Alaska, she wrote a short, very short history. I've lived in Skagway 3 years. I took the children and went for a few months' visit to Oregon, my husband coming to Fairbanks. We arrived in the spring of 1905, taking up a homestead 1 mile up the Chena River where we still reside. Of course, we went there through all the stages of pioneer building of the home ranch, of which we are very proud. I am proud to be a member of Igloo Number 3. It was that same homestead that was purchased and taken over by the Army during World War II, where Ladd Field was built and where Fort Wainwright now sits. Here's another clipping about a Mrs. Bayliss. The only thing in the record shows that her name was Mary Bayliss, born in Louisville, Kentucky, and arrived in Alaska in 1897. A story when she died has no date on it, so I have no idea when this appeared in the Fairbanks paper. Mrs. Bayliss passes away at son's home, it reads. Death came peacefully to Mrs. Mary Bayliss Tuesday afternoon at the home of her son and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Otto Bayliss, after an illness of 2 months. She passed away at 4:25. Mrs. Bayliss was 84 years of age. Funeral services are to be held Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Ross Chapel, under the auspices of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, an organization of which Mrs. Bayliss was a member. Word of her death was sent to her son, an Alaska Road Commission foreman, on the Steese Highway immediately, and he reached town during the night. Mrs. Bayliss was born in Louisville, Kentucky. She came north with her husband, William Bayliss, in 1897. They landed at Skagway, and when winter came, set out on the trail for Dawson. On the trail, they built and operated the Log Cabin Hotel, and after arriving in Dawson, had a similarly named hotel there. From 1900 to 1904, Mr. and Mrs. Bayliss conducted a trading post on Miller and Glacier Creek in Yukon Territory. In the latter year, they came downriver to Circle. For a number of years, they operated the Central House on what is now the Steese Highway. Mr. Bayliss died at Circle 16 years ago. For the last 7 years, Mrs. Bayliss has made her home with Mr. and Mrs. Otto Bayliss in Nenana and in Fairbanks. There's another Bayliss listed in the Pioneer Women of Alaska records. Very little honor. She's the mother of Howard Bayliss of Copper Center. Excuse me. Her name was Bilva, B-I-L-V-A, Brian Bayliss. She was born in Webster City, Iowa. Arrived in Alaska at Circle, Alaska, June 9, 1907. The only history is what she wrote. I was married January 26, 1908, gave birth to 4 children, 3 living, Grover, Howard, Electa, E-L-E-C-T-A. And that's the complete history on that Mrs. Bayliss. Another entry in the Pioneer Women of Alaska book is Nettie Batts, B-A-A-T-Z, born in London, England, arrived in Alaska in the spring of 1900. That's it about Mrs. Batts, no more. Another is Minnie Brewis, who was born in Nelson, Nebraska, arrived in Alaska in March 1899. It's now the spring of 1974, and Mrs. Brewis is one of very few Klondikers who actually hiked the came over the trail in 98. She says here in her, she arrived in Alaska in 99. She arrived, I think, in Dawson and walked the trail. She, as I say, survives and lives in the Pioneer home in Fairbanks. And it was August of 73 when I went to Dawson. I went over there with the intent of finding one or two or three Klondikers, old-timers, who actually came in over the trail, walked over the trail before the road, or before the railroad was built. There were no actual stampeders, 98 or 97 stampeders left in the Dawson area. They're all gone. Mrs. Brewis is one of very few remaining stampeders. She's just a child at the time. At any rate, she is a guest at the Pioneer Home in Fairbanks now in the spring of 1974. She has 2 daughters living in Fairbanks, Mrs. Gladys Sams and Mrs. Barbara Lindbergh. Mrs. Brewis was the Queen Regent in 1948. The clipping in the Pioneer files here has a picture of Mrs. Brewis with the Pioneer King Regent of 1948. Richard Rothenberg. I'll read the title under the picture. The life, Alaska lifespan for Richard Rothenberg and Mrs. Minnie Brewis totals more than 100 years, which makes them well qualified to hold the positions of King and Queen Regent for this year's Ice Carnival, theme of which is 50 Years of Gold. Rothenberg came to the interior over the Chilkoot Pass in 97, while Mrs. Brewis trudged over the White Pass 1 year later. Here's a short article on Mrs. Brewis, which appeared in the News Miner in Fairbanks, February 4, 1948. Mrs. Minnie Brewis, pioneer in Alaska since 1898, was elected Queen Regent for the 1948 Winter Carnival at Monday night's meeting of Ladies Auxiliary of Igloo No. 4, Pioneers of Alaska. At the same meeting, four members took the obligation pledge to the Pioneer Auxiliary. The Lodge voted to assist in serving on February 8th at the YMCA. Following the meeting, the Valentine Party was held with the members of the Pioneers of Alaska. Refreshments were served under the direction of Martin Nuppie. Back to the carnival picture and story, Mrs. Brewis and Mr. Rothenberg. I'll read what the News Miner carried at that time. Presumably, this was in late February or March of 1948, soon after they were crowned. Well, it had to be in March, I expect, because the Ice Carnival was held in March. Carnival regents true to theme, the headline says. Royal carnival couple carry out 50-year tradition, subhead says. Queen Regent Mrs. Minnie Brewis and King Regent Richard Rothenberg, who will reign over the 1948 Ice Carnival, both typify the carnival's theme of 50 years of gold. King Richard arrived in the territory in 1897, making him 51 years a pioneer. Queen Minnie came to Alaska 1 year later in 1898, giving her the required 50-year status. Both of these pioneers have had enough thrilling experiences in their early days in the territory to be able to spin hair-raising yarns for days on end. Mrs. Brewis and her family arrived in Skagway in 1898 on the SS City of Seattle. They brought with them 150 head of cattle, which they wintered at Skagway. In the spring, Mrs. Brewis and her sister walked over the White Pass, while her father and brother drove the cattle over the same treacherous route. A scow was built at Lake Bennett, and the cattle and the future Queen Minnie and family floated down the Yukon to Dawson. In 1910, she went to the Iditarod and 10 years later returned to make her permanent home in Fairbanks. Queen Minnie Brewis is second vice president of Pioneer Auxiliary, Igloo No. 4, and chaplain of the Pioneer Women. King Richard Rothenberg came north in 1897 when he was 28. Hailing from the placer mines of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Rothenberg carried a 120-pound pack over Chilkoot Pass, then built a boat at Lake Lindeman and floated to the Klondike. He stayed in Dawson 1 year, then stampeded to the new strike at Nome. In 1903, he came to Fairbanks. Rothenberg served as Speaker of the House of the Territorial Legislature in 1929, and for many years has been secretary of the Pioneers of Alaska Igloo No. 4. He was the unanimous choice of all old-timers for the honor of King Regent of the 1948 Ice Carnival. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, an almost extinct group now, is Mary, well, I'll take that back, it's just initial, Mrs. M.C. Bentley. Who was born in Preston, Minnesota. She arrived in Dawson in 1899. The story entered in the book here on Mrs. Bentley's passing away. No date, so until I can find another reference to it. I don't know when she died. I'll read the obituary. Mrs. Harry Bentley, 70 years old, wife of the owner of Bentley's Dairy, died in Fairbanks at 3:40 o'clock Saturday afternoon of pneumonia. Mrs. Bentley's fatal illness came upon her suddenly. A week ago yesterday, she was apparently in perfect health and did her usual housework at her home at Bentley Dairy. Monday, she began to feel ill, and Wednesday, she was brought to Fairbanks, and her condition grew rapidly worse until her death. Just as a little aside here, the Bentley Dairy was on the north side of the Chena River. There's no bridge at the time, or in the early days. That's why they say she was brought to Fairbanks. Actually, the area is part of Fairbanks right now. As a matter of fact, the old Bentley Dairy, which was erected in the early years of the century, is just now being demolished piece by piece. The area is being cleared and cleaned up, eventually to be subdivided and to be part of what is proposed as the city of tomorrow, which Cliff Bergman, a longtime resident, all lived in Alaska all of his life, I guess, is developing. Interesting to note that the timbers and the roof of the old barn, which have been up there for more than probably 70 years, are just as clean and clear and yellow as a piece of new lumber. Of course, they've been covered by a roof and insulation, I expect. I know a roof, but I don't know about insulation. I'm talking about the cow barn. One of the silos fell over about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. The other two silos are being carefully demolished. I think someone apparently is taking the old structure down for the materials. It's being demolished very carefully. It's obvious somebody wants to retain all of the usable lumber. I'll have to stop by there one day and pick up a little chip of wood from that old building, just for my personal collection. I try to collect a piece of wood or a piece of a board or a piece of a log from all of the old buildings that are torn down in Fairbanks. I don't have too many because I didn't start thinking about doing this until 1970 when I saw the Eagles Hall going down piece by piece, layer by layer. At any rate, I'll go back to Mrs. Bentley now, this obituary, which appeared in the News Miner. Mrs. Harry Bentley, 70 years old, wife of the owner of Bentley's Dairy, died in Fairbanks at 3:40 o'clock Saturday afternoon of pneumonia. As I say, there's no date on this, so I don't have the death date. I read the paragraph where she contacted pneumonia. Born in Germany, January 16th, 1864, she came to the United States with her parents when but an infant. She grew to maturity in Minnesota and then came west to Seattle, where she met Mr. Bentley, and they were married in 1895. Joining the gold rush to Dawson in 1898, Mr. and Mrs. Bentley spent several years in the Klondike City, and then with the three children that had been born to them, they came to Fairbanks in 1903, where they resided until a few years ago, when Mrs. Bentley made a trip to the States to visit her old home in Minnesota and her daughter, Helen Bentley, in Los Angeles. Mrs. Bentley and her two sons, Harry Bentley Jr. and George Bentley, returned to Fairbanks in 1932. In their absence, the youngest member of the family, Harold Bentley, had lost his life by drowning in the Chena River. She remained in this city with her family from the time of her return until her death. Surviving her are her husband, Harry Bentley, and two sons, Harry Jr. and George, who reside in Fairbanks, and a daughter, Helen, who lives in Los Angeles, California. Mrs. Bentley was a member of the Pioneer Women's Lodge. The funeral services will be held tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in the chapel of the Ross Mortuary and will be strictly private in accordance with the quarantine regulations of the scarlet fever epidemic. Active in social affairs in this city, Wilhelmina Bentley was well known and greatly liked, her pleasant demeanor and generosity making her a host of friends who mourn her passing. Mrs. Bentley, a pioneer resident of Fairbanks, Alaska, was beloved by all who knew her. Sincere sympathy of friends throughout the North will be extended to the family in their great bereavement. Miss Helen Bentley still survives. She's the only surviving member of that family, still living in California. George Bentley died in Seattle, where he was taken for medical treatment a little over a year ago. And Harry Bentley died of cancer about 4 or 5 years ago. So Helen Bentley is the only one still living. Another entry in the Pioneer Women of Alaska's membership book, which, by the way, is very incomplete, but thank goodness it's as complete as it is Mrs. Jessie Biermark. It's spelled B-J-E-R-R-E-M-A-R-K. She was born in Toronto, Canada, June 4th, 1864. She arrived in Alaska by coming over the White Pass Trail in 1897. That was before the big stampede of 98. Here's a news item that appeared in the Fairbanks News Miner marking her 75th birthday. No date on this, so with no way of knowing when it appeared. Mrs. Jessie Biermark was honored Saturday evening on the occasion of her 75th birthday anniversary by fellow members of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. A cake with 75 candles was cut. It had been baked under directions of Mrs. Thomas Foster. Mrs. Biermark and her late husband came north at the time of the first stampede to the Klondike. From Dawson, they moved to Fairbanks soon after gold was struck in this district. Mrs. Biermark makes her home at Circle Hot Springs. She is now on a visit to this city. The Pioneer Women voted a money contribution to the community playground and named Mrs. Dorothy Loftus as a representative on the playground committee. A food sale will be held by the Pioneer Women at the end of this month. The meeting Saturday was the last until the first Saturday in October. No meetings are held during the summer months. Here's another typical, very few words from a very old-timer who probably had some pretty fascinating stories to tell. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. Cora Hamilton Blondeau, B-L-O-N-D-E-A-U, She was born March 3rd, 1883, in Tennessee, and she arrived in Alaska in September of 1904. She writes, was in Dawson from April 1, 1901 till left 1904 for Fairbanks. Sum total of her remarks. Another member of the lodge is Ethel M. Bennett, born in Seattle, arrived in Alaska in the summer of 1900. Arrived in Dawson, Yukon Territory when I was 7 years old, attended public schools there until 1904, when I came with my parents to Fairbanks. During the years 1907, 8, and 9, I attended school in the States. Worked as an operator in Fairbanks telephone office until 1912 when I married Leslie Bennett. Was left a widow in 1916. At present time, I'm matron in the federal jail. That was in 1917 that she was a matron in federal jail. Mrs. Margaret Anna Brandt arrived in Skagway in 1900, came eventually to Fairbanks. Brandt Subdivision, which is just north of the Chena River, near the in the railroad terminal area, this is, carries her name. Not much on Mrs. Brandt, except when she died. Headline in Jessen's weekly newspaper of January 16, 1948 says, Margaret Brandt, pioneer telephone operator, dies. Word of the death of Margaret Ann Brandt, pioneer telephone operator in Fairbanks, was received this week from San Diego, California, where she had been living for the past 2 years. Miss Brandt came to Fairbanks in 1904 and worked as housekeeper for the Northern Commercial Company. When the telephone system was installed in 1905, she became night operator and continued with the service until 1938. She was known as having one of the sweetest voices on the wire. Miss Brandt retired from the telephone service a few years ago, and 2 years ago she left Fairbanks for San Diego, where her sister resided. She was residing in an old people's home at the time of her death. Miss Brandt owned property on Garden Island and also in Fairbanks. And on January 16, 1948, the Jessen's Weekly wrote this about in an editorial from Miss Brandt. They call her, in this editorial, they call her Mrs. Margaret Brandt. The passing of Mrs. Margaret Brandt in National City, California, stirs up many a memory among the older residents of Fairbanks. Recent comers associate her only with the Brandt subdivision on Garden Island, and perhaps most of them do not even link the name with the kindly, energetic, eccentric who owned the land originally. Apparently they're referring to her husband there. She was a woman of mystery in the sense that few knew anything about her antecedents before coming to Fairbanks, Alaska. But here she became an ingrained member of the community. She knew everybody and was known by everybody in those days when she was telephone operator. She had to know everybody, for those were the days when instead of asking for numbers, people asked Central for Tom Jones, Bill Smith, or Maude Brown, and it was up to her to get them. If they weren't at their homes or places of business, she could usually locate them. She spent little money on herself, invested wisely in property, and lost large sums in loans to those who appealed to her sympathies. When she retired, she lived alone, but refused to give in to old age. She continued to be active and wouldn't ease up even when she broke bones every now and then in falls. She was a shining example of pioneer enterprise, perseverance, and kindliness to others, and was loved by a legion of friends whom she helped along the way. June Bean, who was born in Nova Scotia, arrived in Alaska in 1901. Again, the only entry in the history here has no history on her application. The only entry are two clippings from when she died 1939. Also a typewritten biography that was used apparently at her funeral by the pioneer women. Jenny June Kitchen Bean was born in Nova Scotia. From there she moved with her parents to Anderson Hot Springs, California, where she was married to Theodore DePenser, D-E, capital P-E-N-C-I-E-R. To this marriage, two children were born. Later, she with her family moved to the state of Washington, thence to British Columbia, in 1901 to Dawson, Yukon Territory. In 1904, she came with her daughter to Fairbanks, Alaska. Since then, she has lived in various Alaska towns, conducting a woman's clothing store. In 1931, she with her husband Frank Bean returned to Fairbanks and have made this their home. She is survived by her husband Frank Bean, a son Theodore DePenser of Alberta, Canada, and a daughter Mrs. Harry Stasser of Anchorage, Alaska, six grandchildren and one great-grandchild. June Bean was a member of the Order of Pioneer Women of Alaska. In this order, she held the office as chaplain. She was a true pioneer and friend and beloved by all who knew her. During the years she was with us, she labored unselfishly for the betterment of our frontier civilization and human happiness, and so will her memory remain in our hearts. The newspaper article reads, Mrs. Frank Bean, pioneer resident of the Northland, died at 11:45 o'clock Thursday night at a residence at 523 8th Avenue of a heart attack. Funeral services will be held at 2 o'clock Sunday in the Presbyterian Church under auspices of the Pioneer Women of Alaska with the Reverend John E. Youel, Y-O-U-E-L, pastor of the church.